Thank you, Brother Anthony. Well, it's good to be saved this morning. You know, we look out here at the weather and everything's kind of out of kilter. Seems like everything, I don't know, we went through that time change. I'm still trying to recover from that. And a lot about time, I don't understand. But I do know one thing about time. If you're lost, it's time to get saved. I'm going to tell you now, a lot of things about time are kind of hard to deal with. You know, time to plant and time to sow and all that. And I'll tell you what, time is one of them kind of things. We just got so much time. One thing about time to get saved, buddy, you better take advantage of it, amen. I preached last Sunday on how long will the church have to wait till Jesus comes. And I said last Sunday that I was going to preach this morning if God would allow it, and He has, and I praise Him for it, even though it made me run a little late this morning. But I preached last Sunday that I wanted to preach this Sunday a message not to the church, but to the lost. So get your Bible out in Proverbs chapter number 1. Get your Bible out. Please join with me in Proverbs chapter number 1. But pertaining to the church, we'll comment a little bit about the church and comment a little bit about the time here mentioned here in Proverbs chapter number 1. When God says something or just something about the way God says it, no one else can say like what God says. And in Proverbs chapter number 1, verse number 22, God says, how long? You simple ones, will you love simplicity? Now God's asking a question here. And the scorners delight in their scorning, and they do. And fools hate knowledge. I noticed our revival coming up ends on April the 1st. That's April Fool's Day. And God said, how long will fools hate knowledge? And the Bible said that the fool has said in his heart there is no God. But anyway, he said, verse 23, he said, turn you at my reproof. He said, behold, and he's the only one that can do this. And I'm glad he will do this. He said, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. Boy, he's gracious, ain't he? I don't deserve it, Carolyn. But I tell you what, there's some times, Sister Molly, God's poured blessings upon me that the room couldn't contain. My wife and my mother both called me fanatic. My wife said, you can't stay on the mountain. I'm going to stay as long as I can. But he said, I'll pour out my spirit unto you. He said, I will make my words known to you. He's the only one that can. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, this book, The Natural Man, he can't receive it. It's foolish to him. But he that's spiritual knoweth all things, for God is revealing them to the mind of Christ. If you're having problems understanding the Bible, there's a reason for that. The reason is only God can open that book. He's the only one that can open the eyes of your understanding. He's the only one that can make His words known to you. In verse 24, he said, because I have called. You ever get a phone call? I got caller ID now. I've done it myself. You have too. And you decide whether you want to answer or not. And you say, I ain't got time for that now. And you know how that is. God's not like caller ID. He said, because I have called. Boy, there's a good anointing here this morning. And ye have refused. He's calling. He said, I have stretched out my hand. Can you imagine God stretching out His hand? And He said, when He did, no man regarded. But you have said it not. All my counsel, would none of my reproof. He said, verse 26, this is a sad commentary. He said, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. Charlotte mentioned about tornadoes. Nahum chapter 1, verse 3 says, God has His way in the whirlwind and in the storms. Let me tell you something. God knows how to get attention. You see that woman on the news there? There's a big funnel cloud coming down. And she said, oh God, spare my home, my family. And it went back up. Somebody's filming it. I wasn't there, but I'll tell you what, boy, what a blessing. Here's somebody praying in the distress of a tornado coming down. I looked at that thing up there, and I mean, it was a big one. She said, "Oh, God, spare my home and my family." And that thing went back up and went a little further and come down. I'll tell you right now, buddy, there's safety with him, and apart from him, there ain't none. But he said, when your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, that means, you know, you could have had something different. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then God says, oh, it's, you know, I think it was Paul went to Festus, I believe, and he said, when I've got a more convenient season, I'll call for you. Well, here's that convenient season. He said, then shall they call upon me, but I'll not answer. They shall seek me early, but they'll not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose, notice that, did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my reproof. I'm sorry, I want to stand corrected. I want the Word of God to be the Word of God. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. My eye went down the line. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso, thank God, old Brother Eddie's a whoso, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. A lot of things to be afraid of, but I'm glad, praise God, I've got a place of safety. I've got a rock I can run to that's higher than I am. I've got a rock, oh rock of ages, cleft for me. I've got a safe place. I want to preach this morning on how long do the lost have to get saved. And I'll go to God in prayer, do my best, be as brief as I can. I will. You pray for me and I'll be able to do that. Father, Lord, what a time it is that we're standing right now, time for the preaching of the Word of God. Your Word says you chose the foolishness of preaching. Your Word says you call men to preach. You send them. You said, how shall they hear without a preacher? You said, how shall they preach except they be sent? You said, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring the glad tidings. And the glad tidings is that Jesus received sinners. That Jesus came in this world to save sinners. That Jesus was a friend of sinners. That He could save, will save, and wants to save everyone that's lost. Oh, Father, I pray You'll anoint these lips this morning. May You set the boundaries, Father, upon the words that I speak. May I not go beyond Your will this morning. May I be, Lord, clay in the potter's hand. I want You to preach to me. I want You to preach through me. The Word of God, for Your glory and Your praise, I submit myself right now. May we all have ears to hear the Word of God this morning. May it not return void. May it prosper in the thing it's sent to do. May it open blinded eyes and stop deaf ears. May it, I pray, like a hammer break the cow's heart this morning. May someone get to Cain Heppes this morning. May people come to the altar for the invitations ever given. May the saints rejoice and shout and be glad therein. Lord, visit our hearts this morning. In the blessed name that's above every name, we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let me say this morning, I do a lot of witnessing. And I do. I do. I mean to do it. And the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. And Jesus said, be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. But it takes a lot of wisdom. I remember one time me and my pastor went to a house to visit a lost man. And the lost man wasn't there. But when we got there, we met his wife. And my pastor, having the wisdom of God, saw something I didn't see. I didn't see it, Sophia. But as we're talking to this woman about this lost man, a friend of mine, I grew up with him, Freddie Belcher, my pastor saw a little girl back there troubled in soul. He saw a little tear in her eye. And as he talked to Freddie's wife, he turned and said, what about you, honey? You all right? She said, no, I ain't all right. I need to get saved. But let me say, he that winneth souls is wise. I'm telling you, it takes a lot of wisdom. Of the timing, it takes wisdom. It takes wisdom to know when to go. It takes wisdom to know what to say when you get there. It takes wisdom. Sometimes you don't need to say nothing. Sometimes you just need to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I like it like that, Bobby. I mean, I like it when I come here and God's already working. Man, the dam's about ready to break. I saw this young lady sing last night. I noticed my pastor over. I said, Brother Rick, look down, the dam's about ready to break. By that time, she said, "Woo! I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad my family's saved." Amen. That's something to be glad about. I could see it coming. I could tell she's fighting back her tears. I knew it wasn't going to be long. Hey, man, I don't have no problem with tears. I'll tell you right now, I wish I had more of them. I wish I could go through the valley of Baca and make it a whale. I'm telling you, he that go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless return, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with it. I thank God for tears. Amen. I've heard the testimony of lost people. They said, I couldn't get past them tears. Whew. My pastor said one time, very well said, he said, people don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care. There's something about that language of tears that speaks words that I tell you what, lost people know the language. And they say, I'll tell you one thing, that man cared about me. Good Lord, I'm about like a blind dog in the meat house. There's more here than I know what to do with. There was a preacher went to a house one time, lost man in that house, drunk by like old Brother Eddie, arrogant by like I was. He went there because someone said, I'd like to go by there and see him. I've been there, me and Brother Rick. Somebody come to us, Brother Rick, I'd like to go see my lost loved one. They won't go, but they'll see you. We went out there, there's some dog chewing on my leg. And I'm trying to shake that dog off, and we're sitting there waiting, and he come over and chewed on this leg a little bit, and I'm trying to shake him off. At that time, the door opened, but I went in for Brother Rick. I don't know if his mouth soft or what, this dog, he wasn't biting real hard, but he was wearing my legs out. We went in there and five people got saved. What a blessing. I mean, Rick talks to the mother, said, we'd like for you to come. We've got people praying for you. Like for you to get saved. She didn't get saved. But I tell you what, that little daughter said, I'd like to get saved. This other said, I would too. Here comes some big old boy. I'd like to get saved too. And I tell you what, but I got to see him. They just fell. I mean, buddy, they just kept coming in there and falling down. I said, glory to God. It's a good place to be. Hallelujah. Oh yeah. Whew. Praise the Lord. I like to see that on that fashion. It don't bother me a bit. I wanted this here dog have some more. Amen. But this man went to this house, this drunk sitting there at the table, and he like my daddy, he didn't want nobody to come talk to him about his soul. Had no regard for the man of God. That preacher come in there and he said, buddy, someone asked me to come tell you, like for you to get saved, and he said, I've come to tell you, and we'll be praying for you, like for you to come, like for you to get saved. And he offered that preacher a beer. You know how drunks out here have you a beer. And he said, sir, no thank you, I don't want one. He just hauled off and hit him, Don, hit him right in the mouth. That preacher got up on the floor, mouth bleeding. He broke down in tears, and he said, buddy, he said, I didn't come over here to fight with you. I come over to tell you I love you, like for you to get saved. And man, that man gave him a cuss, and that preacher walked out of that house, but it wasn't too long. Here come that man staggering in the back of that church. And I'll tell you what, he didn't wait for the invitation. I encourage you to do the same. He come up here and he got saved. You know what he said? When he got saved, he turned around and told the church. He said, that man went to bed with me every night. And he said, I never got over the tears he cried for me that day. He said, it kept weighing down on me. And finally, he said, I've had enough. And I wish I hadn't have done what I've done. But I'm glad God forgave me and I'm saved. I want Him to forgive me. And that preacher's up there saying, woo! Hallelujah! Glory to God. And I ain't got nowhere in this message. I don't know how long we're going to be here. Oh me. But to the church, let me say this, Hebrews 10:37, for yet a little while. How long is that? For yet a little while. And he that shall come will come and will not tarry. I know you want to see your grandkids go up. I know you got people you want to see them get saved. I know that. I got people I want to get saved. He's not going to tarry. He's not. He's going to come. It's never going to be a good time. I talked to my granddaughter last Sunday. She said, Pop, I want to get married. I want to have children. I said, honey, I know that. It's not going to be a good time. He's going to come. He's not going to tarry. I'm going to tell you right now, there's an appointed time. And I'll tell you right now, he gave Jezebel space to repent. She repented not. But I'll tell you right now, she should have. He's going to come. He's going to come. He's not going to tarry. It's not going to be a good time. He's coming. And when he dies, the church age is going to be over. Amen. What's the church age, Brother Eddie? Grace, mercy, gift of God. Whosoever, let him come, drink. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. What an invitation. Can you imagine God sending out invitations? We say, I might come. I'll think about it. Well, he's going to come. It's going to be a little while. But I'll tell lost people. I'll say, you say this and all. Now I'll say this. I'll try to use a little wisdom. I'll say, what are you waiting on? Brother Melvin's probably heard me say this before. We've been out quite a bit doing some witnessing. I'll say, you say this and all. I'll say, what are you waiting on? He'll say, I don't know. And I'll say, well, how long do you think you got? And I'll say, I don't know. And I'll say, sounds to me like you need to be getting saved. You want to get saved, don't you? Well, yeah. Well, what are you waiting on? I don't know. How long you got? I don't know. It's kind of like playing spiritual Russian roulette. You just don't know when it's going to go off. But you're willing to spin it. Take a chance. Take a chance. Oh me. How long does a lost have? I wish I could tell you you've got this much time. I wish I could. I just know it's a twinkle of an eye. The church is leaving. And when the church leaves, it'll take another whole message to tell you what's going to take place. But I'll tell you one thing. The light's going to be gone. It's going to be a darkness like you've never seen before in your life. The salt's going to be gone. And I'll tell you right now, buddy, a lot about salt you need. But God is waiting on the lost. God is wanting the lost to get saved. God says to the lost to call upon Him. God says to the lost to come to Him. He says to thou lost, you'd be better off if you'd never been born to thou lost. He said about Judas in Mark chapter number 14, verse 21. He said, woe unto that man by whom he's betrayed. He said it'd been better for him to have never been born. You know why Jesus said that? Now that's bad enough that Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, which was mentioned in the book of Psalms, in the book of Zechariah. It's all mentioned. But I'll tell you why he said it was better for him never to have been born. Because Judas went to his place. That's why. It's not because he sold Jesus, that he kissed Jesus, that he betrayed Jesus. But I'll tell you why he'd been better off if he'd never been born. It's because he went to his place. And the Bible said in Matthew chapter 25, verse number 41, that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And the Bible said that he went to his place. He's the son of perdition. Jesus said in John chapter 17, he is lost. You want to know if Judas is saved or not? Read John chapter 17. Jesus said, I've kept them all but one. He's lost. To the lost, if you die lost, you'd be better off. You'd been better off to have been voided. You'd been better off than to have that opportunity and turned it down. You've been better off never to open your eyes. You've been better off to die in the womb. But I'll tell you right now, Jesus said about Judas, he said he had a devil, amen. He said, if I not chose you 12, one of you is the devil. Let me say this. That's in John chapter 6, verse 7. He was lost. He went to his place. But let me say this about devils. Mary Magdalene had 7 devils. I had pretty sure more of Mary Magdalene. I had enough devils lying to me, telling me, Sister Molly, I had plenty of time. I had enough devils lying to me, saying, ain't no God. This is all there is. Eat, drink, be merry. You're just going to die one day. I had enough devils telling me them lies from hell. Mary Magdalene, she had 7 devils. But that demonic man, the Bible said he had a legion of devils. I'm not really sure how much a legion is. It's a bunch. I do know one thing. It was enough that 2,000 soul of swine received those devils and went down that hill and stampeded down in the sea and were drowned and committed hogicide. Ain't nothing good about the devil. He come to kill, to steal, and destroy, kill them swine. Man, I'll tell you what, trying to kill this man, but I'll tell you one thing. Jesus cast those seven devils out of Mary Magdalene. Hey, he could have cast that devil out of Judas. But I'll tell you right now, he was the son of perdition. It was already prophesied that he was going to go to his place. It's sad, but Jesus used him for example. And Jesus said he'd been better off. He'd never been born. Oh, me. Lost people today, God's long-suffering to you. He's longing for you to get saved. How long have I got, Brother Eddie? I don't know. It's between you and God. I know one thing. The Bible doesn't say tomorrow's the day of salvation. It says today's the day of salvation. It says now is the accepted time. It says today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. I'm going to tell you right now, all you got is today. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow may be, may not be. I don't know. It's only on the calendar of fools. But I'll tell you right now, tomorrow's on my calendar because I got tomorrow. I've got eternity. I've got eternal life. But let me say this. I don't know how long you got. But I'll tell you this. The lost need to get saved. Amen. Whew. It's one thing for the church have to wait for the Lord to come. But it's another thing for lost people to wait to get saved. You know, the good thing is, no matter how long he waits, Sister Molly, I'm still leaving. But if a lost person waits too late and they die in their sins, Jesus said, if you die in your sin, He said, I can do nothing. As I see, I judge. I'm glad, praise God, the blood's been applied. The Passover Lamb of God. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. And I want you to know no death came to those that had the blood applied. Whew, there was a cry. That midnight cry. Been many songs wrote about that midnight cry. It's not pleasant. Sister Sophia said, far as she knew, her niece was lost. Now certainly, can be sympathetic there, but I'll tell you right now, she should have got saved. And I'll tell you right now, if my mother, my father missed heaven, I'll tell you right now, I'll say amen to God. They should have got saved. I love my mom and dad, but I'll tell you right now, the same gracious God that gave me salvation April 27th, 1988, and put up on me, and waited on me, He waited on them, and loved them like He loved me, and they should have got saved. Amen. Billy Sunday said, if God condemned his mother and father, he said, I'd have to say amen to God. I'll say the same. How long will the lost wait to get saved? I'll tell you one thing, you better not wait too late. How long will the lost wish they'd got saved if they die lost? I'll tell you how long. Forever. And ever, and ever, and forever you'll regret missing heaven. And forever you'll suffer the flames of hell. I'm using great plainness of speech this morning. But I'll tell you right now, if you don't think nothing about hell, go skinny dip in a volcano. Go show me just that you're not afraid of hell. Go jump into a volcano and say, Brother Ed, I just want you to show you I'm not afraid of hell. Just jump down into a live volcano. And as your sin separates, as your skin separates from your body, and ain't nothing left but the bones, time you hit the flames, you'll understand that's nothing but an ice cube. Them volcanoes freeze over. God said hell was an unquenchable fire. It never would ever be quenched. It don't freeze over. People say when hell freezes over, you forget that. But I'll tell you one thing, down in hell's flames, you'll remember the invitations that God gave you. You'll remember the preaching that God gave you and the praying that people prayed over you. And Abraham said to that man, that rich man, in Luke chapter 16, verse 25, he said, son, remember! You won't have no problem forgetting church then. You won't have no problem forgetting Christ, the Calvary, and the cross then. You'll say, I ain't got nobody to blame but me. He loved me. He died for me. He reached out to me. He pleaded with me. He waited on me. I said it now. I wouldn't receive it. Oh, you'll have plenty of time. Yeah, something about hell. Now, men make prisons. I've been in some of them. I've been in jails. I've been in minimum security prisons. I've been in maximum security prisons. But ain't none of those prisons like this prison. This prison was made for the devil, and he deserves every bit of it. He deserves the hottest place in hell. But he's kind of like the Pied Piper, Sister Molly. You know what? There's a lot of people following him. They're listening to his music. I kind of made mention last Sunday about speaking out against the devil's music. And one of the ladies I worked with, you know, she made the mistake of saying, what's wrong with that kind of music? And I got the opportunity to give a witness. And I spoke a little bit about that kind of music. You know, I told them, I said, I've got a videotape at home. It's called Rock Music Exposed. Of course, she laughed it off. But there was some other lady, and she's listening. She come to me kind of like Nicodemus. She said, I'd like to see that. You know what I did? I took her a copy of that. She still got it. I said, keep it long as you need it. Keep it as long as you want. I don't even want it back. I'm going to tell you right now, if that video could somehow convince her of the poison that's in some of that music. Listen, I'll share it with y'all sometime, but this morning I've got to stay with the subject. But I want you to know who you know who was over the music of heaven? You want to know?
Amen.
Right. You want scripture? Isaiah chapter 14. 14 and 14, 28, Ezekiel chapter 28, and you'll find out he was the anointed cherubim.
Amen.
He was over the music of heaven. He's got the violins and the tabrets built into him. And I'll tell you right now, the music of heaven, the prince of the power of the air, he wants these airwaves to be crowded. He wants them to be coming in and piping in this ungodly music. But I'll tell you one thing, buddy, he's just like the Pied Piper, and he's got our young people going like this right here, doing this right here and twitching. They can't be still. And I'll tell you right now, he's not no friend. He's your enemy. Amen. I can't even spell it out. Tell you right now, our young people have been swallowed up in this stuff. Man, this guy, he's been around since ages. The Bible said he's been in the Garden of Eden. The Bible said he's wiser than Daniel. And I'll tell you right now, you'll remember, amen, that elder brother, that prodigal son. I got this last night in my pastor, but I never noticed it till last night. But the Bible said in Luke chapter 15, verse 28, that he would not go in. I never noticed that. He would not. He wouldn't. There's a lot of people. We went out to the house last Sunday. He wasn't home. He may not ever come. A lot of people won't get saved. Oh, everybody's got to, you know, they got a right. I got a right to be mine. I think it was Jonah said, I do well to be angry. I got a right to be angry, God. You know, we all had that stuff. But you know what? He said, he's angry. And the Bible said he would not go in. There'd be a lot of people wish they went in. There'd be a lot of people wish they hadn't missed out. Jesus prepared a place called heaven. It's a wonderful place. You know, some reason or another, we think this is really nice down here. And I guess it is. But I'll tell you right now, Paul saw it. He gave this testimony. He said to depart and be with Christ is far better. If it's good, it's going to be far better. Tell you what, you miss heaven, you'll remember. You'll remember you would not go in. You'll remember you would not receive. Jesus said to Jerusalem, Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. She don't miss one. She gets them all underneath her wings. But Jesus says, you would not. Let me tell you something. God can't do nothing if you ain't going to do something. But you're going to have to do something with this Jesus. She would not. Or you would not. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, he said, verse 38, he said, your house is left on you desolate. You wanted to see the destruction? You want to see the desolation? I'll tell you what, you just die in your sins. Job said, I am the man that has seen the afflictions of God. Don't see the affliction. Don't see the indignation. See the mercy. See the grace. See the love of God. See the invitation of God. See the blessing that God wants to bestow upon you. I'm the man that has seen the affliction of God. Don't let your house be left unto you desolate. Get the blessing of God. Revelation chapter number 20, and I told God to wrap it up. This is pretty fast, old Brother Eddie. Revelation chapter number 20. John here on Isle of Patmos giving this revelation. And as he's seeing it, God told him to write it down. God told him what to write, what not to write. God told him, write this down, John, because these sayings are true and faithful. So John here writing this true and faithful scene down, John says in verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it. What a sight. From whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Can you imagine that? I thought they was going to get out of it. Frank Sinatra said, and I did it my way. There ain't no way around this. You got an appointment, Sister Charlotte. She said, we're all going to die. How true. All of us been appointed unto die once, and after that the judgment. But I want you to know this mentions about a second death, so bear with me. He said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. There are some books. Malachi mentioned a book of remembrance. Don't worry, God keeps good records. I'll tell you right now, you want to know what it's going to be like? You better hope it's on the blood. You better hope that God said that your sins have cast them in the sea of forgiveness, never to remember no more against you. You better hope they don't get put up on the screen for all to see. He said the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You want works, you better be careful. Because I'll tell you right now, it didn't work. It didn't work. They were judged according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. My pastor shared with me about a video that he got to see about how the Amish live. I've got a lot of respect for the Amish. I wish we had their works. But I'll tell you what, I wish they had what we've got. Because that's all they've got is works. And I'll tell you right now, the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's the gift of God. It says not of works, lest any man should boast. There won't be no boasting about works. At the great white throne judgment, you forget all of that. In Matthew chapter number 7, oh yeah, they did mention the works, but he said, I never knew you. I'll tell you right now, buddy. He said they were judged out of those things which were written, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And here's that whosoever word again. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. I'm glad my name's in the book of life. I'll tell you this morning as your brother in the Lord. I'll tell you this morning the warning of God is that whosoever dies lost will wish they'd repented of their sins, will wish they'd received the mercy of God, will wish they'd have returned to the invitation that God gave instead of reaping the wrath of God. They'll wish they had the mercy instead. I'll tell you right now, buddy, it's a sober time. Pilate said, what shall I do with this Jesus, which is called Christ? You're not going to get out of having something to do with him. The Bible said God given him a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, the atheist professor, the liberal professor, the Democrat politician, the Republican politician, the president of this United States of America. God's not no respecter of persons. Barack Obama. I don't know that much about him. I don't really need to know that much about him. I know one thing. He better repent. I know one thing, buddy. He better get ready to meet God. Because ready or not, buddy, I'll tell you what. One day he's going to stand before God. And he forget about that politician's smile. He forget about all those polished words that he's been able to take advantage of a lot of people by him. And I'm not saying this for no other reason other than this right here. I'll tell you right now, he will bow his knee. Oh, yeah. You know, they had a court here and he didn't show up. He sent his lawyer. He'll be here. He'll show up. Oh, yeah. All the lost will be here at this judgment. All of them will be here. And I'll tell you what, every one of them will wish that they was in that number over there, which no man can number, of every kindred, tongue, and nation. And I'll tell you right now, I'm glad my sins are on the blood. I'm glad my name's in the book. I'm glad I'm in the born again bunch. I'm glad I've not been appointed unto wrath, but obtained salvation through my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you're not ready, I'm going to tell you right now, God's going to give an invitation. Brother Melvin, you carry you and Sister Margaret, get an invitation of Him. If you don't care, just as I am or something, I don't care. You sing whatever the Lord leads you to sing. But I'll tell you right now, this is God's invitation. Yeah, we're giving it. We're giving it to you this morning in the house of God, but it's not our invitation. I can't change one hair from white to black. I can't pray into heaven. You got to pray your own prayer. I'll pray with you. I'll pray for you. I'll tell you right now, I'll be down here kneeling with you. But you got to come. You got to call. And you got to do it now. Or take a chance. A lot of people took a chance. That chance ended up being eternity. Amen. Father, thank you for the message this morning. Lord, I've done my best to deliver what you've given me to deliver. I don't know why there's been such urgency on me, Father, to preach about the coming of the Lord, to preach about the lost need to get saved. Lord, I've done my best this morning. And Lord, I pray that you'll do what I can't do. I pray you'll confirm what's been said here this morning. I pray the fear of God fall upon this place. I pray you'd hang the lost out over hell. I pray they realize, Lord, that the hour right now, Lord, is an opportunity to have a home in heaven. And I pray they'll not neglect it. I pray they'll not refuse it. I pray, Father, Lord, that they will receive your invitation. And I pray they'd come this morning without delay. Lord, I know the devil would like to nail their feet to the floor, and I pray you rebuke him right now. I pray, Lord, you take the shackles that bind off. And Lord, I pray you set the captives free this morning. And I pray they'd come up here and say, Brother Eddie, tell me about this Jesus. I need to get saved. Tell me what I need to say. Tell me how to pray. I need to get saved, and I need to get saved today. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask everybody to stand. In the morning, just inside the eastern gate, with the faithful pilgrim, you it be too late, I will meet you in the morning, I will meet you in the morning. Side the eastern gate over there. Meet you in the morning. Meet you in the morning. Meet you in the morning over there. God will meet you. He'll meet you right now. He'll meet you right here. Oh, He'd like nothing better than to say, go in peace. My sins are forgiven. He liked nothing better than to say, praise God. There's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. You know who that is, Sister Sophia? The herald of heaven says, Eddie Wade just got saved. And my grandfather Edgar Gunnell said, woo! Horse fire! Fire got in! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Announcement in heaven. What a time of rejoicing. Boy, I tell you what, there's some people up there that like to hear some announcements. They'd like to hear your name mentioned. They'd like to know that you're in the book of life. They'd like to know that you're ready if Jesus comes. In an hour you think not. They'd like to know that you're ready to leave if He comes. Don't be like those five foolish that wasn't ready. They said, I'll get ready. I'll get ready. They got left behind. The door got closed. They said, open to us. It didn't open. Listen, five were wise, five were foolish. Are you going to be wise this morning? Or are you going to be foolish? I'll tell you right now, He's going to come. He's not going to tarry. He that will come, will come. He will not tarry. Yeah, He loves you. Yes, He's long-suffering. Yes, He wants you to get saved. But He will not tarry. Won't you come this morning? Won't you come? to 5 minutes till 12. We got plenty of time. McDonald's will wait. Wendy's will still be open. The crowd will be gone. Thank you, Brother Melvin. Hold on just a second. Now, I said earlier in this message, he that winneth souls is wise. And I feel led of God this morning, and it's more His doing than it is mine. But let me ask real quickly, every head to be bowed, just for a second, please. There's somebody here this morning, Brother Eddie, I'm lost. I want to get saved. Please remember me. I'm raising my hand because I don't want to end up in that place of the damned. I don't want to go to that place of destruction. I don't want to go to that place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. There's somebody here this morning, Brother Eddie, please remember me. Let me tell you, I'll call your name out to God. The Bible says to pray for them. I'm telling you right now, to intercede on their behalf. Is there anybody else here this morning, Brother Eddie, please pray for me. I don't want to end up in that place. Prepare for the devil and his angels. I'll tell you right now, if you go to that place, boy, it'll be your fault, but oh, what a price you'll pay. Oh, me. God bless that hand. I appreciate those hands this morning. You know what I'd like to say this morning? We're going to sing another verse of invitation on him. I'm going to let Brother Melvin be looking for that right now. But listen, you ought to do more and raise your hand. You ought to have more respect for the crucifixion that Jesus went to the cross so that you could have salvation. That He's willing to wait even in this day and hour, this Laodicean hour we're living in, when the love of many is waxed cold and the church is nothing but an insult to the cross and to the Christ that died on the cross. You'll just come out this morning and give Him the reward of His suffering. He deserves, desires, and I'll tell you right now, buddy, He died just so you could be saved. With a nail-scarred hand, He says, how long will you wait? How long will you refuse? How long will you set it naught? Won't you come this morning? Why don't you come this morning while they're getting this song ready? Won't you just step out and come? Be a joy. It'd be a joy to Him. Oh, it'd be a joy to Him. You know, my pastor preached last night about that prodigal son. He mentioned about that father seeing that son coming. You know what that father did? He run out there. He run out there to meet Him. Boy, it'd be a joy to Him to see you come. He's sitting looking. Oh, He's wanting. He wants more than anything to see you coming down that old dusty road. I'll go to my Father. Won't you come this morning? Come right now. Get 2 minutes. Plenty of time. It don't take long. It takes longer really to get up here than it does to get saved. Won't you come? Come right now. Get somebody by the hand. Say, go with me. I'll tell you right now, it might make a difference if you come. Might make a difference. Might make an eternal difference if you came this morning. Sure might. Yeah, that hand back there, it's still going around. But I'll tell you right now, that nail-scarred hand still stretched out. That nail-scarred hand saying, come! Let me help you. That nail-scarred hand says, take me by the hand and it'll be alright. That little clock back, that little hand, it's getting with it. That big hand, it's going up here like this. That little hand's already there. They're getting ready to meet here in 10 seconds. You know, in 10 seconds you can make it down here. You can slide in here and say, woo! Lord, God, I got in like Job by the skin of my teeth, but I got in. All three hands just met just now. And you still not come. Tell me this then, what's it going to take? Sophia said her niece, they found her dead. She said, as far as I know, she wasn't saved. And I'm sorry to hear that, Sister Sophia. But I want to say this, what's it going to take? God bless you. What regret that is to hear. I didn't even know him, just regretted hearing about it. Yeah. She said she's got a sister and she's not come neither. She needs to come. What about you? Why don't you come this morning? I mean it. Break out. Break a leg if you need to. We'll anoint you with oil. Come. Jump a pew if you need to. Won't you please come this morning? Oh, why don't you come this morning? This is an eternal moment. An eternal moment.